from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, baby!
Let's go! Vamos!
Vamanos! Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left. Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. We do this bad boy every single Tuesday. Happy to have you in. I'm happy to be here.
I got to find other languages to start saying let's go in. That's my homework. Every week I'll have a new language on how to say let's go.
Ole. Does that count?
I thought that, I don't know what ole
what
means.
What does ole mean?
After all these years, that's I have a good no question. Idea what ole means.
Ole. I can hear him typing in there. That's hardworking producer over there.
And that's a broken keyboard, is what it sounds like.
My fat fingers. Ole is Spanish for old.
What?
That's what it says. Ole is a Spanish interjection used to cheer on or praise a performance, especially associated with an audience, the actual meaning.
Old. Yeah. You're old. You are an old man. Nobody likes you. Draining off the system.
So yeah, it's a cry of approval, or in like other languages, it means old, like old.
That's so crazy.
Weird. I think it came from the ole. I don't know. But that's what Google says.
Google's I don't believe
an
it.
Idiot.
Yeah, Google is a lie. Science is a liar sometimes.
This is why I don't believe in science anymore. This is why I've decided that science doesn't exist.
Let's right, go, though, right. Is the best, like, universal baseball phrase because really? It has, like, seven meanings. It could mean F you. Like, when you're at the plate and you strike out and you don't like the call, you could say, let's go to the ump, and that means let's effing go, or yeah.
Well, there's the famous Tom Brady, let's go.
Ooh.
The famous let's go. I believe the boys in the morning have that as a drop.
Maybe Vancouver Ford Texan can help us, but what I am also seeing is that it also means like bravo, like our team just scored a goal. Ole, like bravo. Oh. That's what I'm seeing.
Hmm.
Again, maybe our heavy influenced Spanish-speaking audience out there can text into the text line and let us know.
But you said vamos.
Vamos.
Well, it's vamos.
Vamos.
V is pronounced
with
like a B.
B. Vamos.
Vamos.
Yeah. I'm spitting all over this thing.
This is not like challah bread.
Hoctu.
Or Barcelona.
Hoctu and spit on that thing.
Yeah, I'll find a little international assignment for me. I'll figure out a new way to say what's going on.
But even if Ole works, Joe, you're still in Spanish, so you don't have another language.
That's true.
Ole is like six different languages. I think that one alone.
Oh, it's Latin.
Maybe the Portuguese use it as well.
I bet they do.
So the Spanish, the Italians.
Yes.
The Koreans.
The Germans.
I think there's a little bit of a... I think there's a little Slav in there as well.
The Mongolians.
Yes, yes.
Did you ever see that South Park? We were talking about this the other day. Did you ever see that South Park episode?
Yes.
Of the city walk?
Oh, yeah.
And the city wall.
Yeah, and the city chicken.
You tear down my city wall. I have to say city wall because I don't want to like...
in perfect pronunciation.
Yeah, I don't want to... I want to make sure we don't get canceled here. But I love when the wall gets knocked down and a bunch of Mongolians on horses ride through it.
You know, Jason Sakanek the other night, he was...
Never heard of him. Who's that?
big bald white dude. Kind of looks like a big old white Mongol. Actually,
from
that?
Mongolia, the one white dude in Mongolia, is he like Jesus in Mongolia?
He probably would be. He'd be like, oh my god, that guy's like a foot taller than the rest.
I always
of us.
Wondered why the Middle East loved Jesus, probably because he was the one white guy around. They were like, wow, your skin's not burned like ours.
Yeah, it was.
I thought Jesus wasn't white.
Yeah. Not according to Let's Go USA, USA, USA.
He was born in Kansas.
yeah. Look at that.
Salina, Kansas, to be exact.
Jason Sukanik the other night, I got a double dip of Sukanik. I got him Friday night for a bit, and then on Sunday. And I'm trying to remember if it was Sunday that he was talking about the Mongols back in the day. They used to ride on their horseback and cover their legs with like furs and pelts, and so that their legs were covered, and it looked like they were just one being, like
one entity,
part man,
part beast,
part horse. And so when they were right up on their enemies, they would just be like, holy hell, what is this? What is this coming at us right now?
I mean, the Nez Perce were like that in Idaho and Eastern Washington.
It's a good strategy. It's like, we're going to look so damn scary. We're going to look like something that you have never seen before, waving axes, arrows, maces.
They built a wall to keep those people out. You can see it from space.
I can imagine.
It's a city wall.
I can imagine
it's
they were
a city wall.
Pretty scary if China decided to build a wall that big.
I bet you the food at City Walk was really terrible.
Or really good. crappier the Chinese restaurant, the better the food.
Tear down my City Walk.
I will say I definitely got food poisoning from one of those... big Chinese grocery stores.
Yeah. I don't even know what's a big Chinese grocery store.
99 Ranch Market.
I don't even know where
Do they have ranch in China?
That's the name of the store. It's 99 Ranch
Where?
Market. I should rephrase. It's an Asian market.
They trying to outreach to the whites by calling it the 99 Ranch Market?
Yeah, I don't know why they call it that.
Is this some weird Newberg stuff? Do I need a meringue on the phone right now?
There's one in Beaverton. There's one right off Hall in Beaverton over by the mall.
See, dude, I live in Vancouver, so my suburbs are safe. That sounds like dangerous suburbs.
They've got cuttlefish and duck hanging in the deli and stuff, and I went and got one of their like plate lunches for like $7.99, and I have never seen someone struggle more to put a styrofoam lid on in my life. Like, they packed that son bitch up to
Did
the
you
brim.
Know? Okay, I'm gonna
their elbow dropping it, trying to close it. Like, close it, son of a bitch.
I'm gonna take us on a completely different tangent and completely go somewhere else. Did you know in the state of Washington, styrofoam is illegal?
What?
There's no more styrofoam
Russia?
In the state of Washington.
Not a surprise. Very liberal up there.
Like the styrofoam coolers, gone.
Yeah, can't do it.
Yep, those once-use coolers that you buy, they're all gone.
I remember my aunt giving me an earful when I did that in Hawaii. I went to the store, and I was like, oh, well, I need a cooler.
You need a quick cooler for the day.
Bought a styrofoam one, and she's like, are you serious? How many coolers I have? You know how much of a waste that is?
Do you know how
is?
Hard it is on these islands?
Yeah, basically. She gave me the local scowl, that's for sure.
Do you have to like scan all the packages to like see that there's no styrofoam?
No, because they come from other states that allow it.
So that's not okay. All right.
Like my Omaha steak present from my brother-in-law that comes every Christmas, never has steaks in it, is styrofoam. Last year I got an 8-pound smoked turkey. Hey. The hell am I going to do with an 8-pound smoked turkey?
You're going to eat the hell out of that.
We cooked it, and everybody was like, this is terrible.
That sounds like 1080 the fan during the holidays when the boss man wanted to tell you good job, give you a honey-baked ham certificate.
I'd rather have a ham than a smoked turkey.
I miss honey-baked ham. There used to be one near, well, because, yeah, near our old building, I think it's also closed, the Honey Baked
Ham. I'm pretty sure that's where those certificates were coming from. Yeah.
Hey, that,
well,
that
I haven't been to a mall in forever. Is that the only place you can get a Honey Baked Ham?
No, there was one, like, just in a little, like, mini mall, not, like, a real mall.
Yeah, and there's one over by Beaverton Town Center shopping area as well.
Yeah, I'm dude, I live in the safe burbs, not the dangerous burbs, like you.
I mean, the last I saw a Honey Baked Ham, like, stand that just sold the hams, I haven't seen... like a sandwich place.
Oh, we're covering a lot. We're covering a lot of ground on this.
I love me some. Hey, you walk up to that Honey Baked Ham smell, like you got to. He's got to get a piece.
Let's get the hell out of here. Oakley Dokley.
99 Ranch Market, Styrofoam.
Oakley Dokley. We got a baseball show for you tonight. A lot to get into as we're coming down the stretch. We got a lot of things, to ride into. More impact, couple players coming off the DL, who's more important to their team. Plus, we'll look at why there's no real dominant team in baseball right now, how that's looking with some teams fading, other teams surging, etc. We got contract extensions for players that were DFA'd. We got a lot to get to, but when we come back, who would you rather play? There's a couple teams surging right now, and they're not very far behind a team with a lot of money behind it. So we'll dive right into baseball and get this bad boy going. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader. That's Joe. I'm Patrick. That's Schultzy over there. 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
7:15 here, Portland Sports Leader. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I got me a Bronco Sport in the parking lot that I got from those guys, and I can't tell you how happy I am with the service, the price, and everything. If you live in the state of Oregon, that is tax-free. We got a lot to get to. Juan Soto just hit his third home run of the night.
Whatever.
I've been in the desert for the last like 5-6 days. I had to catch up on what was going on in baseball, and all of a sudden, the Yankees and the Orioles are battling for the division.
How was the peyote?
Mescaline.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
No poison dart tree frog.
Venom. No, I'm always worried because I'm going to poop myself.
Yeah. Classic. Who hasn't been there?
Yeah, mescaline just dehydrates you like an SOB, so the desert's perfect. But I want to get into this right now as we'll dive right into some baseball. Don't look now in the National League West, and I've used this phrase before. Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. The Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres are on an absolute tear right now as both of them sit 3.5 games behind the Doyers. They are both 8-2 in their last 10, and there is something about these two teams that just says, we have hit it, it's mid-August, and we aren't going anywhere. And for the Diamondbacks, this is without Christian Walker.
To expand on...
And the Padres without Fernando Tatis.
To expand on that last 10, I believe the Padres are 18 of their last 21. Yeah. They have been very, very impressive. Diamondbacks have been just as impressive on the offensive end as well. I mean, they had a great series against the Phillies, putting up a lot of runs there. And the Dodgers, and we'll get into this a little bit about some other teams and quote-unquote best teams in the major leagues. It's just they've been underwhelming lately, and they've given up ground against these two teams. Now, I know that they've had their injury woes as well, but they have gotten one of their stars back. But, yeah, blink twice, and... Padres and Diamondbacks are right there behind them.
Yeah, which leads me to this question. When you watch these two teams, you know, which one's the scarier one to you?
I'm going to give the lean to the Padres. I was looking at everything today. I'm giving them the slight offensive nod, even though the Diamondbacks have been playing really good on the offensive end. But as far as like 1 through 9, I'm giving it to the Padres. Pitching is pretty even this year. As well, as far as starting pitching goes,
I would agree.
Slightly better bullpen for the Padres overall as the season goes. Lately, the Padres for sure, but just taking the whole season into account, April through August here, mid-August, I'm giving the slight lean to the Padres.
I think what's interesting is not because I'm this way, but it's interesting because everything you say, Joe, you're not wrong, but I lean Arizona.
Like, hey, they got the deep playoff experience now,
yeah,
right?
There's that. You know, we love Torey Lovullo. Like, we love him. Like, we love him on this show. We sang his praises all through the playoffs last year. But there's something about it. Josh Bell seems to have a nice resurgence in Arizona.
It's amazing what happens when you get out of Miami.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you get to a place and you can go. Now, the pitching I'm a little more worried about in Arizona than, say, San Diego. But they're doing this without Christian Walker. Now, again, Josh Bell fills that gap there at first base. But I think the biggest thing for me is one of the future stars of the game is finally coming on, and that's Corbin Carroll. Like, he had such a rough season to the All-Star break and even most of July, and now he's kind of found his groove. I watched him hit a triple the other day. He plays great defense in the outfield. My only question with Arizona, I like them right now, but long-term, that's where I kind of move with you, Joe. Is Ketel Marte. He's kind of got this like Kyle Tucker injury going on right now where it seems like you should be out a couple days and then all of a sudden Kyle Tucker's done for the year.
Well, and the other
night. And I worry if Ketel Marte is that same way.
Well, and the other night when he injured his ankle, he continued to play, then left the game, and then it was like, oh, he'll be fine. Now he's getting an MRI and sitting out today. And so I wonder if baseball is very weird in the sense of where teams are very hush-hush on their injuries, and a 10-day turns into a 60-day turns into a done-for-the-year.
Yeah, that's why I compared him to Kyle Tucker. It's like, all of a sudden, Kyle Tucker's like, yeah, he's done.
It didn't look that bad. It was just on a swing. It looked like he kind of just twisted up his ankle a little bit. I can't imagine he's going to be out for an extended period of time. It'd be pretty you know, like shocking if he was, because again, it just didn't seem that bad. And the fact that he kept playing on it, you know, adrenaline is definitely a huge thing. But if they lose him, then this definitely swings in the Padres' favor. And they just got Bogaerts back recently, who is having an underwhelming season as far as power running RBIs go.
Cost efficiency.
Yeah, exactly. As far as output, what you're getting for your dollars. But he's not terrible. He's batting .270. So maybe he starts to pick it up a little bit more. But, I mean, Kim has been awesome for them. Again, they don't have Tatis, but when he comes back, he's going to be a huge help for them. Machado's been super clutch for them lately.
That's the veteran on the team that gets you through bad times.
On the field and at the batting box as well, even more clutch. Is the young kid out in center field, though.
Yeah, Cronenworth has been really good for him. But yeah, that team lives and dies with Jurickson Profar. I mean, how do we get Jurickson Profar an MVP here?
Well, I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about
Jackson Merrill. Yeah, yeah, the kid in center.
Dude, he's
I can't believe we've gone this far and you are correcting me of maybe the most amazing player in baseball this year in Jurickson Profar, and we're talking about everybody instead of him.
Right, exactly. But Jackson Merrill, I want to say something the other day. He's got like the most game tying or walk off home runs in a season for a player under 21, tied with Mel Ott and
I know that guy.
God, it was someone else. I think it was school together. I think it was Frank Robinson.
Oh, also know that guy.
Pretty good.
We used to work at the bar together, me and Frank. Yeah.
So I really like the Padres offense, top to bottom. Guy who's on the mound for him this year, Michael King. He's been great for them this year as well.
Yeah, and we look at some guys that are kind of coming on really strong late in the year. You know, I've been watching even before he threw the no hitter. I've been kind of watching Blake Snell. Kind of like, oh, he's really kind of coming to form, but he's on a team that's not ready to compete right now. But his counterpart on a team that is ready to compete right now, and that's Dylan Cease. And as much as Zach Gallen is phenomenal, Brandon Pfaadt is the kid with some flair. Obviously, Montgomery was the big pickup for them, but he's been kind of a disaster for Arizona this year.
Yeah.
Dylan Cease is... Let's put it this way. If you look at the National League West, of the three teams that are competing, Arizona, San Diego, and the Dodgers, is there a better, more consistent starting pitcher on either three of those teams than Dylan Cease?
I mean, probably not.
Between those three
in the NL West. Has there been more consistent than Dylan Cease?
Consistent, it's probably, I mean, you can maybe say Glasnow, but as far as...
Oh, yeah, there's Glasnow. I don't know why I completely forgot, like, my favorite pitcher in baseball, but...
Yeah. I would say, you know, 1A, 1B between those two. But Cease has been awesome from day one for the Padres.
Am I really sitting here talking myself into the Padres? Is that what's going on right now?
Let me try to add just a little bit. I feel like you haven't mentioned this fact to talk you further into the Padres. Is their manager, Mike Schilt. I think a lot of the national media was confused as hell when the Cardinals fired him. I'm sure that there was, like, I remember reports of some sort of, like, disagreement with the front office or whatever, but pretty sure he was coming off, like, a 90-win season the year they fired him. And he's shown that, yes, he can manage a team very well. I think San Diego got him on the cheap because Bob Melvin had kind of left them lagging, trying to jump to San Francisco. And the team found a diamond in the rough that essentially it seems like baseball kind of forgot about, didn't want to give him a job for the last 3 years. But Mike Schilt has been amazing and offered that steady presence that you need.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting from the tingle, from Jace Tingler, to Bob Melvin, San Diego was teetering on, not as bad as the White Sox, but teetering on some really culture issues. Some bad contracts, we're short on money, we don't know if we're going to be able to pay players. And Jordan, to your credit, like, Schilt has righted that ship. Like, they seem to be like, okay, we're focused on baseball, this is what we do.
It was definitely at the beginning of the year when they made that Cease trade. I think they might have made another move where we were just kind of like, man, do the Padres, do they have delusions of grandeur and thinking right. that they're better than they are? And
is Cease overrated? Like, did you pay too much for him? Is he any good?
And yeah, I mean, credit to them because they knew what they had. They trusted in themselves. And again, it's a marathon baseball season. We've seen it year after year, and they're starting to hit their stride at the right time.
Didn't Jace Tingler replace Andy Green, too?
Yes.
Which was another three-year run, basically, mediocre, terrible season. So, yeah, I mean, it just further speaks to, like, the culture is right there now.
I think the biggest challenge San Diego is going to have to run in, or I'll start with this. The biggest challenge that Arizona is going to run into is when Christian Walker comes back, can he be the Christian Walker that led them to the World Series? Will Josh Bell fall off? Can Corbin Carroll stay hot? My biggest concern for San Diego is Jurickson Profar. Okay, this guy has been he can play any position, but he's bounced from team to team to team. He was on Texas, he was in Oakland, now he's in San Diego. But, I mean, the guy's batting .297. He has an OPS of .882. He's got 72 RBIs for a guy that's batting leadoff. Like, can he be this sustainable? Because we haven't seen in his entire career. That's my question.
Yeah.
My question is him. He's been their best player, without a doubt. I could sit here. I need like an hour or two to build a case, like a lawyer style. But I could argue you that Jurickson Profar, if San Diego makes the playoffs, which it looks like they will, should win the MVP.
Goo. Yeah, I mean, I'm still leaning Shohei just because of the numbers he's put up.
And, Shohei.
And he's going to just get the benefit of the doubt regardless.
He hit a bomb into the second deck in Milwaukee today.
Not surprised. What is that, 35 on the year now?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, he could definitely be getting to 50 by the time it's all over. But Jurickson is not too far off. He leads the Padres in war. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see where he is compared to the rest of the National League. I know there were some people trying to kind of put in the nod for Ketel Marte in his MVP campaign. But again, when you stacked up his numbers against Shohei led like every category over him. I don't know if it was Buster Olney. I think it was Buster on a show a few weeks ago, but he was like, I don't know. Watch out for De La Cruz over in Cincinnati winning MVP. And I was like, man, I can't remember the last time a mediocre to non-playoff team had an MVP.
The answer is the Texas Rangers and Alex Rodriguez in the early 2000s. I think
There's one escaping me. I feel like there was one more after that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
Did Miggy's Triple Crown, did they go to the playoffs?
Gosh, that's a
good
question.
Maybe it's that.
I'm really trying to remember because I feel like 10 years ago there was someone who won the MVP and I was like, their team kind of sucks though. Like, they're not even making the playoffs, but they just had a stellar year. I don't think it was Pedroia.
Well, his MVPs, he had a good year. But
I hate that guy.
Yeah, he hit like 330 and won MVP because of his defense.
I'll find out. But yeah, he was trying to say De La Cruz was going to maybe get MVP votes and win the MVP. And I was like, I don't know.
No.
It's just he's had a great year, but to me, it's Shohei's to lose.
Well, this is a race worthy of watching, if not the best race of non-division winners. And we'll get into division winners in the 8 o'clock hour. Who do you trust more and who are you worried about? When we come back, though, I do want to get into a couple playoff caliber teams have some big names coming out the DL. My question to you, the listener, and you two here, is which one is more important for the success? And I think my answer might surprise you. We'll do that next, but first, there's Schultzy with sports. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about a guy who was left on the scrap heap. It's actually playing really well right now and got himself a contract out of it. How do you go from being nothing to something?
Jaren Duran?
In about 2 weeks.
Oh.
This is a Jaren Duran free show. I do not give bigots a platform, nor do we talk about that kind of stuff. Unless, of course, USA, USA.
Well, I will say it is, I guess, lucky for other MLB players because I've been around locker rooms. I've heard the way some of these guys talk. And
it was pure locker room talk.
Yeah, the hot mic's obviously not always catching that, but I'm venturing a guess that Jaren Duran's not the only one.
I don't know if I'm ever going to put on this baseball helmet again.
Yeah, Tom Brenneman might look better than Duran right now.
I think so. And Duran's a bigot. I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to defend him. He sucks.
That
he's
guy wears
idiot.
T-shirts that says the F word on it.
Yeah, right after? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you have an agent?
Yeah, and that's the most we will discuss that loser on this program. So coming up in 15 minutes, yeah, we'll talk about a contract signing of a guy who was left for dead. But I want to get into this. I'm very curious. Kind of this stays in a little bit of the National League West. There's a couple big-time PTPs, as they say, guys coming off the DL that are very, very much needed for their team's success. And I want to pose the question to you two, what is more important to these teams? And that is Mookie Betts coming off the DL for the Dodgers.
Yes.
Or
huge.
Whatever option two is, no, yes to Mookie Betts.
And don't sleep on option two.
Oh, God.
Option two is Julio Rodriguez for Jordan's Seattle Mariners.
Oh, dear God.
My question is not who's the better player. We all know Mookie Betts is a top 3, 2, 1, however you want to rank him in baseball. Mookie is at the top. But as far as team goes, who is the more important, quote-unquote, addition to their team, Julio Rodriguez or Mookie Betts?
You texted this earlier today, and my initial reaction to it
is Mookie, because he's the better player.
I was just like, what the hell kind of question is
this?
Yeah,
are you an idiot? Yeah, I am an idiot.
And then I went, well,
that's kind of what I'm saying.
I was like, who needs offense more right now?
And
the Dodgers or the Mariners? Well, the Mariners need a lot of offense right now. And so Mookie is just another gun in the holster, another weapon for you to have on an already dominant offense, quote unquote dominant. So a team that knows they're going to make the playoffs, more than likely going to win their division, and I hope that actually doesn't happen now that I said that.
It would be
always love seeing a late season
collapse.
If they
had to play a wild card game, that'd be amazing.
But I would say the team that needs it the most, who is fighting for their playoff lives, is the Mariners. So I get what you're saying. But then again, let's remember, it's not like Julio was giving him a ton of offense to begin with. He was getting hot. He was doing what he does best and turned things on late. And then he got the injury, but I go 51-49 Julio, just for the sake of what team needs the help more.
So this is where my thought process was. Freddie's been out because of his kid.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom of that lineup is terrible. So it's just been Shohei and Will Smith and Teoscar.
They just let go of a 300 hitter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They just DFA'd a guy they traded to replace Mookie, and then they were like, oh, Mookie's back, so see ya. So the Dodgers have their problems. Freddie, since he's been back, has not been amazing. I expect he'll figure it out, but he's not been amazing. So that's why I was kind of like, Mookie coming back for the Dodgers is pretty big, because Mookie is all reliable. I would say he's more reliable on that team than any other hitter, and that includes Shohei, because Mookie does the dirty work. Singles, stolen bases, defense, et cetera, et cetera. Switch over to the Mariners, who also have their own problems at the bottom of the lineup. But since the All-Star, or since the trade deadline, and Julio's been hurt, all of a sudden you're scoring 11, 8, 7. That Justin Turner and Arozarena and Cal Raleigh coming through and Victor Robles, that offense looks a lot better.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like, well, the offense is holding it down while Julio is gone. And to Joe's point, Julio wasn't playing well before. So now I kind of wonder if the answer is the Dodgers with Mookie. So that's kind of why I asked. Like, I'm flipping back and forth.
I mean, I understand, like, why you'd even ask the question about Mookie Betts. He's a perennial MVP. You got to consider his addition to a team. That old moniker, like, well, you know, a guy coming back from injury, it's almost good or as better or, you know, as good or better than getting a guy, like, from another team at the trade deadline.
Sounds like a DePoto quote.
It is, but actually, yeah, exactly. But applying that to Mookie Betts is actually true, because he is that good and he's going to make your team better.
There's no Mookie Betts on the trade deadline.
No.
Yeah, there's exactly. No guy like that you can get, except for the Red Sox, who traded him at the trade deadline to the Dodgers. Or exactly. They did in the offseason.
But when it comes to the Mariners, and it's not just their offense that you're seeing, but there are still, like you say, batters that are like at the bottom of their lineup. Basically, Scott Servais is being forced while Julio's out to give at bats to Mitch Garver at the designated hitter position, which that is a black hole. You don't do that. Statistically, the worst hitter in baseball.
Rojas, Rivas. Yeah. Like, these are bad players.
And really, to wrap it up, Julio is, in August and September, the best player that he is in all of his career in those months. He hits .341. It's the highest batting average of any month he's had in his career in August. And then in the total month of September and October, he's hit 15 home runs over his career, more than any other month. This is the time that Julio Rodriguez performs. So if you're just looking traditionally and you saw him getting hot before his injury, my bias is showing, but I think Julio is more important to the Mariners.
I think the answer is Julio. I think the answer is Julio because the Mariners are fringe. Like the Dodgers, if Mookie's out for the whole, it's like, look at the Astros right now. Okay, the Astros are on a tear right now. Bregman has come back to Bregman.
Did they win today?
They did win today.
So what, that's 7 in a row now?
They won today in a hard-fought game with Tampa. They won today, and Bregman's on fire. And
hit 4 home runs in 4 games.
And Alvarez didn't do anything today, but they are doing this without Kyle Tucker. So it's kind of like that. Like, they're hot without Kyle Tucker. The Mariners have been hitting without Julio, which kind of leans me towards the Dodgers, who have been struggling a little bit. But I think the answer is Julio, because what have we said all year? Do you know the Mariners 2 days ago became the second worst batting average in baseball?
Not surprised.
Woohoo!
They finally moved up.
See, and again,
the Dodgers are going to the playoffs with or without Mookie Betts.
I hear you, but when it gets to, it's like, all right, making the playoffs, that's great. this team is supposed to win a championship. Like, they made the offseason moves, and everybody was like, all right, 2024 World Series champions, Los Angeles Dodgers.
$1 billion.
And with the Padres creeping up, the Diamondbacks creeping up, and we kind of mentioned it and alluded to it as far as the top-tier teams of the 2024 season, is that there's not a lot of separation. There is no dominant team. There is no one that is running away with it that is going to have... I mean, we might not even have a team with 100 wins this year.
The Phillies looked like giant killers, and they suck right now.
Well, and what did we say? That their schedule was super easy the first few months, and that they played no one over 500, and then what do you know? Once they start playing better teams...
I've been gone for 6 days, and all of a sudden Cleveland doesn't have the best record in baseball, and the Yankees are tied for the top of the division. Like, what's going on?
I know what team was the first of 70 wins in MLB, though.
And we'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. I do want to touch on that subject, but yeah. I find this, that's why I wanted to bring this up. I find this a fascinating subject.
Right,
it's,
now, Julio,
it's kind of like the best player MVP or the true MVP? Like, who's the guy that they really need? And I think the answer is Julio Rodriguez.
Right now, it's Julio. In the long run, it's Mookie.
Without a doubt.
Because
I can't agree more with you, Matt.
You can't win a World Series without him. I honestly feel like that. That dude is everything for you on offense.
I mean, he is the first guy to win a regular season MVP and a World Series MVP in like 30 years, and it's some dude who's like in the Hall of Fame.
Well, and it's like, hey, can you play second base? Hey, can you play shortstop for us? Hey, we're going to move you back to right field, please. Yeah. Like, save us, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Dude's unreal.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. But I, you know, looking at Julio at the dish, Julio's up to his old tricks, you know.
Bro, you want to talk about
slider out, high in, strike
his,
out.
His timing his first game back was awful. Yeah, but, he struck out like 4 or 5
times. And Mookie's hitting already.
Well, and yep. You want to talk about pressure. I mean, there is
Julio's got more pressure than Mookie.
For sure. If he goes this last month and a half of the season and just S's the bed, like, it's not going to be pretty.
We're looking at Kyle Seager 2.0. And I'm joking. That was disastrous.
No. Julio's already got his money. It's the front office that's going to suffer if Julio doesn't perform.
But also, that's not entirely fair to him. Because the whole team has sucked all year.
Right,
but
right.
When they're in a tight divisional race like this, and they feel like they've been playing better offensively in comparison to what they were, and they're like, dude, if we just get Julio back, and then he doesn't give them that extra fire, that extra push in that off, like,
they're toast.
People are not going to be happy with the team. They're not going to be happy with him, and they're going to feel like it was just a giant missed opportunity.
Yep, to your point, Freddie is back. He can struggle, and they can still survive. Because Mookie is going to do Mookie stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Already, yeah. What was it? Home run, second at bat,
yep.
Back from injury?
Yep. And he's in Milwaukee now, so he has to stay in Airbnb because the hotel they stay in has ghosts. I love that story. I forget about it every year until it happens.
Hey, it's spooky, all right? I wouldn't want to do it.
I love that Mookie Betts, like my favorite player in baseball, is afraid of ghosts. Like, so terrified of ghosts that he's like, no.
Hey. No, not taking any risks this late in the season, all right?
No risks, dude. This is August, dude. I'm not messing around. All right, when we come back, we'll stay with the Seattle Mariners. How do you get left for dead and then all of a sudden you got a new contract? We'll get to that next Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll dive into why we talked a little bit about this earlier. We'll dive into the lack of dominance in baseball and why this might open up for an amazing, amazing playoff run.
You okay?
Yeah. Pause.
Texting.
You got a Funyun stuck in the throat? What's going on?
We also might get into who takes the worst job in baseball, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
Hey, it could be your boy.
My boy? It could be my boy.
Could be your boy.
Who is holding it down right now. I had a fantasy team named after him, and we'll get to that. Potentially in 15 minutes, we'll see, or in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll see where we go. But I want to get into this. I find this fascinating, and not because it's a Seattle Mariners story, but I feel like I don't see this happen very often. Now, in 2019, you know, the famous story of 2019 will be the Nationals had a terrible record at the end of May, and then broke off and led to a World Series win.
I think it was even into late June.
Into June, maybe?
Yeah, I'll look it up, but continue, sorry.
But Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and even Patrick Corbin, which is funny to say because he might be the worst. He and Javi Baez are the worst contracts in baseball right now. But they had two studs. They had just lost Bryce Harper to the Phillies, but they had some kids. They had Anthony Rendon at third.
They had Juan Soto. They had Trey Turner.
They had these kids named Juan Soto, Trey Turner, and Victor Robles that all produced fairly well.
That son of a bitch.
To get them to a World Series. Now, let's fast forward here 5 years later. 5 years is a long lifespan in baseball. And Victor Robles was really bad, was not very good last year, and was even worse this year. And the Nationals outright let him go. And in the most, you know, Jordan, you can attest to this, in the most classic Seattle Mariner move, they're like, that guy sucks. Yeah, we'll take him. And they bring him in. And boy, let me tell you, Robles has been pretty damn good for the Mariners since he's been in. He signed a 2-year, $9.75 million contract extension with Seattle. There's a little bit of bonus in there. There's a $9 million club option for the third year. Have you guys ever seen somebody, before we get into Robles' effect on the Mariners, have you ever seen somebody that was basically left for dead, picked up by somebody, and then gotten a contract out of it?
It's hard to think off.
I feel like maybe a pitcher. Maybe a couple of guys. Maybe a pitcher got it. But an everyday player, I don't know.
Yeah, again, like I'm trying to think, again, it's just off the cuff. It's hard to think of a certain player that literally it's like, dude, just whatever you can give us. And then like, oh my God, you're our most consistent hitter.
Yeah.
Here's 2 years.
You bat leadoff. Yeah. You play center field.
Dude, thanks. Yeah, it's hard to think of a player recently where, again, they over exceeded expectations.
I mean, there's like the stories like Rick Ankiel, but that's more of a position switch.
That's a great example.
Yeah, like he was a pitcher that got the yips and then came back as an outfielder, started hitting bombs and throwing guys out from center field. And I think he played like six more years for the Cardinals in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and let's be real here: the Mariners are on the hook for $4.5 million a year. Okay, this is not a bad deal.
It's such a Seattle Mariner move.
But it's the most Seattle Mariner move ever.
Yeah, they hold a $9 million team option for him in 27, but they're not going to exercise that.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I'll switch to that. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of funny. But let's also get to why this contract extension is here in the first place. Victor Robles, since they got Randy Arozarena, Justin Turner, and Julio went on the DL, can I argue that Robles is the most valuable player on this team? I know it's only like 3-4 weeks, but the kid's been really good for them.
I don't know about most valuable. I would say if I'm going to lean anywhere.
Well, I mean, it's Kirby, Gilbert, Castillo, those idiots.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about most valuable hitter, I mean, it's maybe either him or Big Dumper.
Yeah, I mean, the dump is the dump.
Yeah, but again, as far as consistency goes and just getting hits, what a catch out there in center field by, I don't even know who that was for the Pirates, sorry. I'm trying to think. I would say it's Big Dumper just from the power and the RBI he's given you. He's not hitting for average this year. But Robles, I mean, in the 2 months that you've had him, is just like, dude. All right.
Well, when Robles came up, when he was a prospect, when he came up, he was, you know, not a Soto, not a Trey Turner, but he was a highly regarded prospect that put in great years in Washington. It just seemed to fall off. Is this just new atmosphere, new vibe, or is this sustainable?
Sometimes a change of scenery is what you need, and baseball's fickle. I mean, you don't always know why you're struggling, but Victor Robles has shown the five tools that the Nationals knew that he could get. He's like 12 for 12 stealing bases. There's your speed. He's hitting for power. He's hit a couple bombs, hitting near 300.
Decent defense in center field.
I would say more than decent. He made two really good catches on Sunday Night Baseball just against the Mets, and then a really good catch a couple of nights before. So I've frankly seen him being the most, maybe not the best player, but the most complete player for the Seattle Mariners since he got on the roster.
Dude, absolutely wild looking at his stats over earlier this year and the last couple seasons. I mean, in 2021, he had a batting average of 203 over 107 games. 2022, batting average of 224. And then last year, very small sample size of just 36 games, batted 299. But this year for Washington, in the 14 games he played for them, 120 average.
They DFA'd him.
120 average.
Like a top prospect, and they DFA'd him.
Yikes.
I heard one of the big reasons for his success is there's this new pitching machine that MLB just approved either this year or last year. I think it's like
technology and stuff.
Nerdy.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It's like pitcher stat, but what it allows you to do is essentially simulate the motions, and you get to watch it on kind of like an LED screen of any pitcher in the big leagues.
Yes, I've heard of this.
And then you basically get any of their pitching deliveries,
arm action,
yeah, everything. Yeah. Spin on the ball delivered to you in the batting cage. And Victor Robles was going to Scott Servais saying, "Hey, Scotty, I just had two hits on this guy. You need to put me in." And then his first step bat, he'd come out and he'd get a hit against the guy. It's just really cool to see.
I was talking with a guy from Jugs, local pitching machine.
I like Jugs.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Damn right.
They have these machines now where you can simulate spin, arm action on pitchers,
movement, and, yeah, everything.
Exactly. I'm like, that is, again, technology and stuff, man. Who knew?
Technology and stuff. Well, it'll be interesting to see. We'll keep an eye on him and see how that goes, because if Julio's back and Julio can play, you put him in center. What do you throw Robles in right if he continues this go? And then your outfield is Rosarena, Julio Rodriguez, and Victor Robles? That ain't a bad outfield. No. That ain't a bad outfield at all. It's just, look at the guys playing second, short, and third.
Real quickly, can I run through? By the way, the Nationals, they were 32 and 38 June 15th is what their record was.
The in 19.
They won it in 2019. 32 and 38, that's basically when they made the turnaround, so at around the 70-game mark.
And then Strasburg made a deal with the devil, and they won a World Series.
Basically, right?
quickly, the name is Traject Pitching Machine. Go look that up. Traject Pitching Machine. Right. Like, it's just crazy to see like what you can have at your disposal as a hitter.
I'm gonna run through this lineup real quick for you too. At the 2019, Yan Gomes, Matt Adams, who could forget Fat Adams, Brian Dozier, Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, Juan Soder, Victor Robles, Adam Eaton. They got all those guys at their peak,
at their absolute peaks. Yeah. Well, with like Trey and Juan as kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, besides those two, Trey is looking this
besides
year.
Besides those two potential Hall of Famers, at least one of them might be a surefire. All right, we come back. We got a loaded second hour to get into. Why is nobody dominant in baseball? Plus, who should get the worst job in baseball? We'll do a little flippity-flop there. Plus, fair or foul at the bottom of the header. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.